This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 16 of Tatooine Sons. On this week's podcast, we'll look at the new revelations we had from The Last Jedi novelization. It's been announced that Jon Favreau will be writing and producing a live-action Star Wars TV series. We'll share our thoughts on that. And if General Hux going to be in episode 9? We don't know for sure yet. I've seen your daily routine. You are not busy. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then I'm sorry for you.
You know, Sam, that's a hard thing to come up with every single week, especially when you may be doing more than one podcast on a Saturday.
Yep.
Coming up with an Achoo to Star Wars fan moment can be a challenge.
Very.
Congratulations, you get to do it one more time this weekend.
Yay!
And of course, you can have Star Wars without bizarre father figures, so on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
I suppose that my last comments...
Need an explanation.
Yeah. So, where are you guys getting ready to head in a couple of days?
Orange Beach, Alabama.
Woohoo! Spring break.
Yep.
2018. Yeah. What do you guys do? Who are you going to see there, BB Nate?
My grandparents.
Yeah.
My grandparents.
So, Christy's, your mama's mommy and daddy.
Right.
They have a condo down there on Orange Beach, Alabama. They call that the Redneck Riviera. And
I have never heard that.
You've never heard that? Oh, no. Yeah. That's called the Redneck Riviera.
I can see that now.
It makes a lot of sense. And so you'll be going down there and hanging out with them for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
That's the joys of homeschooling is your spring break can be twice as long and you can take days off to go see Mark Hamill's induction ceremony into the Hollywood Walk of Fame and stuff like that. What's your favorite thing to do down there on Orange Beach when you go down there, BB Nate? Oh, he's looking at me all confused. Sam, what about you? Do you have anything fun you like to do?
Just like it all. It's just a fun little break or whatever.
Yeah, you guys don't do school when you're down there, do you?
Sometimes.
Not this year?
I think I may do a few little things, just like ACT preps and stuff. But
you're not being
made up? We've got to read and stuff, but otherwise I don't think there's much to do. So.
Some people actually think of reading as a pleasurable activity, not something that they're being forced to do.
Yeah, I'm being forced to do it.
Kind of a good segue into what we're talking about today, reading.
Yeah.
Because we might be talking about a new Star Wars book that just came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you stole my segue.
And so... yeah, you know, you come by that. It's amazing how the sins of the fathers pass on to the sons in this our family as well as the Star Wars universe. Meaning that, like, father like son, can I use that?
Yeah, okay. That one makes more sense.
All right. Anyway, we normally, this is where we do our poll thing, right? So, but since we're recording three podcasts in 3 days here, we're going to do two today and one on Monday before you guys hit the road. We don't have results from our podcast poll of the week. So,
I mean, if we had access to the world between worlds, this would be easy.
No, that would be awesome. You know, I wanted to tie up something from that I didn't get to talk about in the last episode. Can I do that here?
I don't know.
Because we talked about Rebels like 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago. Now we're going to talk about it again.
For them, it was a week ago.
Dave Filoni has said that time travel may not be possible in the Star Wars universe now. Can you guys figure out why he said that?
Because the temple's gone.
The temple's gone. And he said that the temple, you look like you're just out of it right now, BB Nate. You got to get into this.
Wake up.
We need you here.
Yeah. Wake up.
BB Nate's fighting a little bit of a cold today. So this is the second podcast. Might take it all out of him. We're going to hope that he can talk.
Here, I'll go get you like a Coke or something.
Yeah, seriously. Go get him a Coke while I tell the story.
You keep talking. We'll be right back.
All
right.
We'll open it on mic. And that'll be a cool sound effect. So, okay. So anyway, yeah. So Dave Filoni said that the only portal into the world between worlds was the temple on Lothal. And because of that temple being destroyed and being gone now, we have no access to it any longer. And it seems to make sense because the Emperor, he seems to be aware of the fact that the temple on Lothal is the only access to it. And Ezra seems to be the only one that knows how to really get in. So Ezra's no longer there. The temple's no longer there. Seems like it's gone. So, okay, here we go. Sound effect moment.
Here we go. Oh, I can get it. It's tight today. There we go.
Oh, that's great radio right there. All right.
We're not sponsored, I swear.
We're not telling which one this is. It's just a soda in a red can.
I said what it was.
Do you say it was Coca-Cola? All right.
We're not.
So we're not. So anyway, that will take up that little segment will take up our weekly poll section. But there is something I do want to mention. I want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. We've gotten quite a few over the last couple of weeks. We've reached our second goal.
Hey.
Happy beeps.
Happy beeps. Yeah, we reached our second Patreon goal of $100 a month today. After our first podcast of the morning and the one that's actually up for this last week, episode 15.
This is weird.
Which is kind of weird, yeah. It's like we really are in a time in a world between worlds.
It feels kind of strange.
And people do this every, you know, all the time in the podcast world. We tend to do ours live. So Brad, and I keep thinking of his
Twitter name
and not his
actual name.
You know, he's a real guy. And he's pretty cool. He tweeted out there. First of all, he tweeted out the wrong podcast link, which was kind of rough. He tweeted out today to say that how much he really loves our show and supports what we do, and he encouraged other people to go to our Patreon page and become a patron of us, and then he linked to somebody else's podcast. That was
A bad feeling about this.
But then he realized it right away, and he deleted that tweet. And tweeted back that same tweet with a link to our podcast, which was great.
There we go.
And then put his money where his mouth is. He was at the $10 a month sponsorship level. That's the Jedi Knight.
Yes.
Is that no?
No.
No, Jedi Master. Jedi Master level of sponsorship. And decided he wanted to be part of the Jedi Council. And so he upped his giving to his support of Tatooine Sons to the $25 a month level. And that put us over our $100 goal. For the
there
month.
We go.
So
there we go.
Because of that, you know, we're going to have to let a month or two play out of this $100 a month so that we can build up the reserves that we need financially for it. But that means we're getting new podcasting equipment in a couple of months. Boom! Like a mixer and some mics.
What's a mixer?
A mixer is going to go. It's like going to have a soundboard. Yeah.
Cool.
And Nathan gets to start running the soundboard because that's Nathan's world. He loves to do that. He does that stuff at church, wants to learn how to do it.
I can do that. I can press
buttons. That's Nathan's thing. It's knobs since you're not good at knobs.
Oh, I want to do sound effects.
So we're going to have a soundboard here in a few weeks, a couple months, probably a month or so. Once we get the month
built up.
Yeah. From that. So Brad Tracy, thank you so much for being a member of the Jedi Council. And because you're a member of the Jedi Council, you, along with John Gregory Karst and Neil Lowry, you guys get to help craft the show. So this month, at some point, we're going to have a special Jedi Council meeting. It'll be a Google Hangout. We're going to get together. We're going to talk about the focus of the show and where we're going and things that you think we can do to make it better because you guys get to help do this along with us. Yeah. And so the Jedi Council gets part. So if you want to help craft this show, be a Jedi Council member. It's $25 a month. You get a cool t-shirt that says, I'm a member of the Jedi Council with our logo. Logo. Too much talking about purgles today.
Oh, and Google.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Nathan, wake up. Hey, good morning. Hi. Welcome to the show, Nathan. I think that's like the sixth word you said. All right. So we'll get back to that in a second. But anyway, Brad Tracy, John Gregory Karst, and Neil Lowry, we're going to have that meeting. T-shirts, everything else going there. Check us out on Patreon.com. Be a supporter. We're getting all of the month stuff sent out this week. So all of you guys listening, by the time you actually hear this podcast, all of the stuff that you are owed as far as stickers and shirts and schedules for Google Hangouts and all that kind of stuff that's going to go on, that will be in your hands by then. So to Brad Tracy, new member of the Tatooine Sons Jedi Council, thank you so much. Big salute, guys. Woo! Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brad. Okay. All right, so I guess it's time to move into our first topic of the day. Who has the first topic?
I do.
Samuel the Hutt.
Yeah, I raised
what are
my
we talking
hand
about?
On the podcast.
I raised your hand. That was good. Good podcast right there.
Genius.
What's our topic that we're starting with today?
The Last Jedi novelization.
Yeah, we have to go with the lightsaber igniting. Oh, yeah. Come on. So talk about it. Get it,
yeah,
set it
so,
up there, BB
so
or
just
Samuel.
Recently on what? I forget exactly what day. Anyway.
Last Tuesday. Right. It was actually not last Tuesday when you're listening to this. It was March 6th.
Okay. The novelization for The Last Jedi was released, and it contained a pretty good amount of new information that we didn't know about things like Snoke's backstory, Reylo.
There's some Reylo stuff in there.
Reylo,
lots of stuff.
Leia's medical condition. These are just a few of the things. Luke possibly actually going back to Crait, like physically.
Yeah, there was a chance that could have happened.
Yeah, so there's lots of stuff. That's
here's what's interesting about this, BB Nate. This novelization is different than other Star Wars novelizations. In most cases, and we've talked about this on previous episodes,
yeah,
but the other novelizations sort of were written alongside the movie or even months before the movie was actually finished being shot based on earlier scripts. So when they came out, it didn't have the sort of the fingerprint of the director-writer mm-hmm. on it. The Last Jedi is different in that. BB Nate, explain to our listeners why The Last Jedi is different. You remember? All right. BB Nate doesn't remember. Samuel the Hutt, remember.
Rian Johnson actually worked with the writer of The Last Jedi novelization to help craft the book and add things and make sure it was exactly how he wanted it.
Yeah. The book usually comes out the weekend of, or the week of,
right,
the release of the movie. This time it came out months later. Mm. And so what I think has happened with this one is since Rian Johnson was so intimately involved with this book,
it re-released later.
Well, I think it had a chance for him to answer questions and that were in that. That's I think funny. He really loves this story and he wants to make sure the story is told right. So, BB
well.
Nate, from your understanding of this book, what's the one revelation from The Last Jedi novelization that you wanted to talk about today?
Well, I want to talk about that Rey actually contemplated killing Kylo Ren when he was unconscious laying on the floor.
Did you just say he contemplated killing Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
But I thought she was like massively in love with him.
Right?
Isn't that the way that it works? So explain kind of how the scene worked there.
She was waiting for Chewie to pick her up and then let's just say she was thinking.
So we're in the sequence, what's happened at this point?
Well, Kylo Ren's unconscious because of the lightsaber exploding.
What is going on here?
Okay.
It was an advertisement.
An advertisement showed up on one of our pages that we just were looking at. I don't think you guys heard that. If you did, I apologize. Well, I meant talking about the listeners on the radio.
Hope not.
Yeah. So anyway.
That was fun.
It was a bit bizarre. Let's mute this. Well, you can't mute it. Okay. So anyway. So we get so set up the scene as far as what's happened before she has to contemplate killing Kylo Ren.
Well, they killed Snoke, they killed all the Praetorian guards, and then Kylo was saying, leave your past behind, being its snarky itself. And she decided to pick up trying to get the lightsaber, then they both grabbed it, it exploded, Kylo Ren got unconscious, and Rey was waiting for Chewie to pick her up and then lay in pocket.
So she's waiting for Chewie to show up, which answers a question that I had, sort of. But that's not what happens in the movie. She doesn't get picked up.
No, she takes
She takes Snoke's shuttle.
Escape.
No.
Yes, that's what they say.
That's what they say. But I'm pretty sure Rose and Finn took Snoke's escape craft.
No,
and that's what they thought.
No,
because it happened at the exact same time.
Oh my god!
Okay,
Lord.
Here we go. Sound effects again.
Where?
All these things, these pages are loading and they're ending up with that. Okay, anyway. No, in the movie, when Kylo wakes up and Hugs is standing there with his hand on his blaster getting ready to kill him, and then sees Kylo Ren waking up, you have this moment where Kylo tells Hux.
No, it wouldn't make sense. why is Rey in the Millennium Falcon?
Well, she must. I always assumed that she took Snoke's escape shuttle and rendezvoused with Chewbacca.
No,
that could happen.
I guess that is what happened. She took the escape craft and met with him right outside.
He says it right in there.
You're not listening. Okay. What I'm saying is, you're right, and I'm right. She took the escape shuttle because you can't get the
insanity.
Well, anyway,
we're having technical difficulties.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I really am. You can't get the Millennium Falcon in Snoke's ship to pick her up, so she's got to get off the ship to the Millennium Falcon. So she takes Snoke's escape pod when Chewbacca arrives with the Millennium Falcon. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. So
we can mute the site.
So anyway, keep going. Keep talking about it. So what happens in that?
Well, she's waiting and she's like, what would have happened if I just killed Kylo Ren? Then she didn't do it because she would become too much like Luke Skywalker's story. And she didn't want that. And so that's kind of what happened.
So how does she go through this process, and what does she decide? What is the reason that she decides not to kill him?
Well, she decides because she doesn't want to become like Luke Skywalker.
What do you mean she doesn't want to become like Luke Skywalker? I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, my word.
You can, if you right-click on the site.
Well, what I'm really looking at here, Nathan, I'm trying to figure out why she decided, what it was her reason. And she said she didn't want to be like Luke. I'm trying to understand what that means there.
Well, she it's not her choice to kill Kylo Ren. It's not her choice to change the future. She just wants to let it play out. And with everything that Luke did, she doesn't want to do that because then she feels like she's going to become the legend of Luke.
Well, so I think she's more focused, from what I understand, on trying, wanting to not be like Luke, who made Ben's decision for him, because she says later on that, you know, Ben didn't, the mistake you made was thinking that his decision was made, or your mistake was thinking his decision was already made, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing with it. So she could have killed it, which is an interesting throwback, Samuel the Hutt, to The Force Awakens, because in that scene in the forest, in the woods, in the snow and all that, at the end of the movie in The Force Awakens, when Starkiller Base is getting destroyed and they're having their big, you know, duel, she has got him where she wants him. And she's standing over him with the lightsaber. And according to the novelization of The Force Awakens, she's ready to kill him right then and there.
Yeah, and I also said it in this.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, but then the planet
split. The planet split, she couldn't. So this shows somewhat how Rey's idea of what's going on with Kylo Ren, with Ben, has changed as well. What do you think about that?
I think that's... it's interesting. I think she's matured a lot through the Force and her ideology. Big word.
Big word. Samuel, that's big word of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... If I were in her shoes, I would have just finished him off, but, you know, that's just me.
But you're not in love with him.
Yeah.
That's you know, true. I mean, Rey, we know, is, like...
Truly,
deeply in love. I truly, deeply love you. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
You're not talking about the prequels.
Okay. Yes, that's Let's right.
Just avoid those right it's now. Like,
yeah. But anyway, okay, cool. Samuel the Hutt, what was your scene?
It wasn't necessarily a scene. It was just the theme of Reylo throughout the whole book. Now, Reylo has been talked about ever since Force Awakens. It's been pretty big, too.
Mm-hmm.
This book hinted very strongly to it, if not almost confirming it. It talked about moments where, you know, they had these feelings for them. I forget the exact words, but the novelization uses very clear language to depict that there have romantic feelings.
Yeah, I mean, it's talking about he cares for her, and he's
you know, he takes his shirt off.
Hey baby,
what's up?
Oh, you caught me with my.
What about these pecs?
What if he was just walking around?
It's such an interesting scene to have happen, especially in light of the Matt the Radar Technician scene.
I hope Ryan just put that in there. Just
what explain to our listeners if they don't remember or haven't seen it. What happens? Oh, okay.
So
okay, but let BB Nate do it here. So you remember?
I don't remember that skit.
You don't remember that skit?
So there was an SNL skit a few years ago,
right after The Force Awakens came out.
If you don't know the show Undercover Boss, it's where a boss goes undercover in his corporation to see, you know, what's going on with employees. So basically, they had an undercover boss, Starkiller Base, where Kylo Ren went undercover as a radar technician named Matt.
We appreciate you guys so much.
And he's going around doing all this stuff, and he's sitting in the lunchroom with all the employees or whatever. He's like, my friend ran into Kylo Ren in the shower. He said he had an 8-pack. So it's stuff like... That was a great skit. But
so I guess we never really see, though, whether or not this 8-pack exists, because... Kylo Ren's wearing grandpa pants,
right?
In this, where they're up to his navel. I mean, up to his, you know, like right underneath his pecs or whatever. Right. There.
I'm hoping that Kylo Ren was just walking around shirtless, hoping for like the connection.
Maybe it'll happen.
Oh, you caught me off guard.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just sitting down, probably thinking it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, like, she's like, could you put out a cowl or something?
No.
So anyway.
So there's lots of stuff like that, but towards the end of the book. It talks about how those feelings are a lot less, if not completely gone, by the end of the book. You know, with Kylo Ren seemingly betraying her in the throne room. One more thing.
Go ahead.
When Kylo is talking to Luke, it talks about how he says something about killing Rey. And she says...
He's going to destroy her or something like that.
And he said that... In the book said that he said her name like poison or something.
Mm.
So he's definitely not liking her.
It seems like the novelization is trying to calm down expectations for Reylo.
Like it built up Reylo like crazy. Similar to the movie. And then it killed him.
Well, I think it's interesting because both of your... ideas from the novelization have to do with sort of that Reylo connection to some extent.
Yeah, anyway.
But this is what I think. I predict, you know, here we go. A prediction sure to go wrong. I predict in 9 that you're going to see a very, very evil Kylo Ren.
I hope.
And I think that if he is redeemed, and I know there's a lot of you out there that listen to this podcast that really want Kylo Ren to be redeemed. You're really passionate about that idea. And the books... No. The book seems to give indications that he may be redeemed in this... in the resolution. Or it's a possibility that could happen. J.J. Abrams could decide to do that.
Yeah,
and I think that would be great. I don't want it to be a Martha moment from, like, you know how in Batman versus Superman, we're going to step out of the Star Wars universe. It's like they're fighting. They hate each other. Hey, your mom's name is Martha?
Yeah.
My mom's name is Martha. All right, we're buddies now, and let's go forward. I don't want that kind of redemption of Ben.
Yeah.
If a redemption happens, I want it to fit the story. I want it to be emotional.
Yeah.
I want us to all want for his redemption to take place and celebrate his redemption taking place.
Yeah.
And I want it to center on Leia. If it happens... I want it to center on the idea that he is just completely devastated over the death of Leia. Because she's going to be dead in episode 9. We know this. And it's interesting because they talk a little bit about that in the novelization too. He digs into that a little bit more. That moment when he's on his fighter and he's going after her and they have that force connection and he senses her absolute compassion for him and her... longing to be with him and be reunited and all that, and he chooses not to attack her because of that.
Well, now we know who Ben's favorite parent is.
Yeah, he didn't like Daddy. He had Daddy issues. A little bit. Yeah, I hope that you guys don't ever want to kill me because you love your mom more than you love me. But, I mean, not that you don't love your mom more than you love me. But
well, even if we did, why would we just, like, confess that right on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be sleeping with one eye open after tonight, Nathan, after this podcast. Nathan's looking at me all creepy now. Anyway, I think that I want it to center on that. I want him to – because, you know, in episode 8, in The Last Jedi, we know that his killing of Han is still impacting him. It's ripping him apart. It's fracturing him or something like that Snoke says.
It's split your spirit to the bone.
Yeah, split your spirit to the bone. So if that happens and now he experiences the death of Leia finds out about that and blames himself because it says in the novelization that he could have taken out if he would have known that the fighters on both sides of him that end up destroying the bridge
were
going to launch against her, he would have taken them out or their torpedoes out.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So maybe he blames himself if her death in the speculation is that she's got sort of like solar radiation poisoning and that's what ends up killing her or something like that. I don't know what it's going to be, but if it comes down to there is a physical impact on her in the Last Jedi novelization that we don't fully get in the movie with that.
And if on the flip side. On the other hand, I'm blanking. Okay, if Kylo Ren is not redeemable, there we go. See, I'm getting a sentence out. I agree. He would need to be full on dark side, like no redemption or compassion or anything in him. He needs to be. We hate him with a passion, you know, like something as evil as him, like. Celebrating his mother's death or something.
Jeez.
Like, something to give it a...
My sons have decided to go dark tonight.
No, I'm just saying, that would make it...
I'm sick, I'm medicated, I'm drinking a Coke, and I feel weird right now.
We're going to cut that segment out. And we're going to use that all the time.
Yeah, that's
I'm sick, and I'm medicated, and I'm drinking a Coke, and I feel weird right now. Okay. Go ahead, finish your statement, Seth.
But I'm just saying that as using that as an example of, you know, making it to where we want him to, you know, be eliminated or destroyed or something because he's just irredeemable. I'm not saying that that should be what it's the avenue they go down. I'm just saying that that's an example, you know, that they could do. So, what was your one thing that you got out of the novelization?
Well, you know, I was interested that they do elaborate just a little bit more on Snoke's backstory. It seems to tie into the Aftermath series of novels that came out after The Force Awakens, around The Force Awakens, and the Jakku moment when Rey Sloane and Gallius Rax and all these people, they go out into the unknown regions for the contingency that the Emperor put in place. And Snoke is out there. So what I understand from the novelization is that they got out to the unknown regions and they were completely unprepared for what's going on in the unknown regions. And Snoke is there. He's aware of what's going on. He knows about this and he's basically the one that comes in to help him. So it's sort of a crazy, bizarre storyline that we still don't know who Snoke is with that. There's little things that were impactful to me. One of those was just I remember watching, you know, on like our sixth, seventh, eighth times of watching The Last Jedi in the movie theater. I remember thinking how bizarre it is that Luke is wearing his Jedi robes in the end of Force Awakens in the beginning of The Last Jedi. And then he discards the saber and goes back into his hut, changes, folds and puts them away and wears his, you know, his grubbies for the rest of the scene.
It's weird because in the visual dictionary, they say that the Luke we see at the beginning, that's the Last Jedi. And then the Luke that we see after he changes his clothes is just Luke Skywalker.
Well, yeah. That's
interesting. He's in his Jedi robes and that's when he's functioning as a Jedi.
Right.
But then he changes into his scrubs and he's grubbies, whatever you want to call them. And he becomes just Luke again.
Yeah.
And then he puts those back on before he goes to burn the Force Tree. And so according to the novelization, he's made multiple attempts to burn down the Force Tree and destroy the Jedi and everything about that. And that's what he was just getting ready to do or had just failed to do again when he's standing there and Rey shows up. Yeah. So it's like the Force, he's like fighting against this idea even before we get there. I think
I had that question too about why he's changing clothes like that.
Right. And so now we know with that. I think that the Han funeral moment is pretty powerful. You know, there's lots of scenes. I love that when I read the first bit of it, where Leia is giving the eulogy in the forest there, before we get to the Last Jedi. I mean, this all happens before the Last Jedi actually starts.
Yeah.
With it. I love the line she says, "I once told Han that it was tiresome watching him do the right thing only after he'd exhausted every alternative," which that to me is an ultimate Han Solo line. It's like Leia truly is the closest person to him and knows him. He's always messing up. He's always blowing it, but he's always ends up trying to do the right thing in the end, which I absolutely love that because I feel that way in my, you know, as you know, a guy, I feel like I blow it a lot. I hope my motives are good. Maybe that's why I identify with Han. I make a lot of stupid mistakes, but in the end, I'm hoping to do the right thing with that. It goes on. She says, but sooner or later, he'd get there because Han hated bullies and injustice and cruelty. And when confronted with them, he could never stand down. Not in his youth on Corellia, not on Yavin, not on Endor, and not on Starkiller Base. Which was also interesting when you think about that quote in relation to the Solo, A Star Wars movie that's coming out. Because we saw him stand up to the bully on Yavin. We saw him stand up to the bully on Endor. We saw him stand up to the bully on Starkiller Base. And I have a feeling we're going to see him stand up to the bully on Corellia in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Yeah. So I think that's probably one of my favorite scenes.
It's cool. It's cool.
I'll tell you though, when you first open up the book, because I read all my Star Wars books on Kindle when I'm in bed at night and the lights are off and Christy's going to sleep, and I read myself a little bedtime story every night until I get sleepy. And
then Snowflake.
No, man. I love to snow. Yeah, anyway. I was reading that opening prologue, and I was a little confused. I got to be honest with you. When Luke starts talking about his wife, that was a little flipping with that. When you're reading that, and he's talking about his wife, and then you realize he's having a dream or a vision. BB Nate?
It kind of goes back to our last week's episode.
What do you mean? Alternative timelines.
See, we were talking about Luke having to make a choice, and then he has in this dream about another life and how it would have been if he just given up the choice.
You know, it's funny, Ben, BB Nate, because it's another idea that Star Wars Rebels is more significant to the Star Wars galaxy and what happens in the story than we give it credit for. You know, it's not just an animated series. What you just said is absolutely true. We get to get a glimpse, perhaps, of an alternative timeline where if Luke had not gone with Ben to Mos Eisley, what would have happened with him? And he would have been, you know, married on Tatooine, and he has kids, and you know, the galaxy's still under the control of the Emperor and the Galactic Empire, and Luke has never become the Last Jedi, and all that. That happens at the beginning of the book. I mean, I hope that if you're listening to this, you're not too concerned with spoilers. But that was a big. But I think that it's you know, gives us an idea of the impact. Maybe next episode we should talk about how Star Wars Rebels really did impact the greater story of Star Wars, because that would be an interesting topic to talk about. So cool. Well, that sort of sums up,
wraps that up, yeah,
the novelization. I'm in the middle of reading it. Those are all highlights that we took from some news articles that talked about it. So I'm a little spoiled. You guys probably weren't going to read the novelization. That's just not your thing. You read some of the books, but not the novelization.
Nah, I'm probably
going to
read Last Shot.
Last Shot for sure when that comes out.
Yeah,
but The Last Jedi, I don't think you guys are going to read that. So I got a little spoiled from it, but I sort of know what happens to Luke Skywalker in the movie. So I think it's probably going to be the same that happens to him in the book too. What do you mean what happened? What happened? Oh, yeah. And that reminds me of the time when I was talking to somebody about the movie Titanic after it came out. And she's like, don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet. And I looked at her and I said, the ship sinks. And she got all mad at me because I spoiled the movie for her. I guess she didn't know that from history, the Titanic was going to sink. But anyway, let's talk about the next topic.
They're making a second Titanic right now.
Are they? That's cool.
An actual ship, yeah. I don't.
Oh, the actual boat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to get on that one.
No, I don't think anyone will.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay. What's the next topic?
It'll probably be the big thing.
Yeah. What's that?
It'll probably be the big thing.
Yeah, like Tide Pods. So you're associating anyone that gets on the Titanic as being stupid enough to eat a Tide Pod?
Okay. Well, you think about it. Yeah. Titanic sank once.
Yeah, anyway. All right, so what's the next topic? Next topic, I guess, is Jon Favreau, who's got that BB Nate.
He raises his hand on the podcast.
Jon Favreau is related with Marvel. And
yeah, yeah. He plays Happy Hogan. He directed Iron Man and Iron Man 2. And he also directed The Jungle Book for Disney and some others. So
yeah, he's a pretty good. He's
very popular. I remember him as the big, fat, dopey friend from Rudy. You guys remember the movie Rudy?
No.
So he has a big, fat, dumpy friend that he's having, like, tutors Rudy so that Rudy can get into Notre Dame. But the payment, because Rudy's too poor to afford to pay him anything, is he has to help him pick up chicks. Because all the girls like Rudy, and Rudy has no problem at all, like walking up to any girl with it. So that was Jon Favreau.
That's funny.
And then I remember, I think Jon Favreau was in Swingers with Vince Vaughn with that. So anyway, that's my Jon Favreau.
I just noticed that backstory.
Happy Hogan from the Iron Man movies, right, Marvel movies. Anyway, he's
going to be directing and producing a live-action Star Wars TV show.
Yeah, writing and producing. From
writing,
yeah.
And directing.
Yeah. Writing and producing. I don't know about directing. So, anyway. So, what do you guys think about
Captain K. Interesting.
You're a big Iron Man fan.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Iron Man. I still do. I mean,
he's your favorite of the Marvel characters.
Yeah, but Captain America's getting up there. Anyway, that's beside the point. I'm just trying to figure out what TV series would be good for his
like
directing style.
What type of series?
Because I think everyone's kind of wanting a Star Wars Underground sort of feel. And I'm not sure that Jon Favreau is one of the is the best director for that. Now, I'm definitely no expert, and I'm sure that Lucasfilm knows what they're doing, if that's the case. But if I were to go for an underground thing, I would go for more, I don't know, I can't think of the name, but something like, what was the show, Breaking Bad or something? I'm just talking about the
Breaking Bad is the TVMA. We've had a whole conversation.
No, I'm talking about like that feel, the underground crime sort of thing. Maybe that director, because it would fit more with that style. I'm not saying TVMA, I'm just saying he would kind of get that world easier than, say, Jon Favreau, but I could totally be wrong, and they may not even be doing a Star Wars Underworld sort of thing. So,
well, I think if it's a bounty hunter style TV series, like a Star Wars Underworld, and the reason we talk about it and we call it Star Wars Underworld is because that was what George Lucas was originally in plans to do. And he had a bunch of
plans.
It's not in still plans. He has a bunch of scripts that he wrote. They were getting ready to start shooting it, and then he changed his mind because he didn't think that things were ready for them to be able to do that. And then Lucasfilm got sold to George Disney. Gosh. Lucasfilm got sold to Disney, and so everything changed at that point. And there's been rumors that the scripts were going to be used in the name of that series of Star Wars Underworld.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to do – if Favreau or anyone is going to do that type of a series, that the feel of the series – really needs to kind of be the same feel as Rogue One. Rogue One has some dark moments. Cassian has to kill
that
informer on that weird hourglass-shaped planet when he kills him at the beginning in order to keep – because he's going to get captured.
Right.
We all know he can't climb out of that back alley like Cassian can. So rather than letting him get captured, he kills him. That's pretty dark.
Yeah.
And the fact that Cassian was going to – take out Galen Erso.
Yeah.
That was a very dark moment. Mm-hmm. It's gritty in the battle scenes on Jeddah and some of the other scenes. I think that's the feel for it. You could do that in an underworld style.
I agree.
You know, a bounty hunter thing. What do you think about the idea? Do you think he's going to do a bounty hunter style, or do you think he's going to do something different?
Well, I think he could. It would be cool because I think it could be like a Rogue One type bounty hunter type of thing, but. You said he did Jungle Book?
He did the Jungle Book, the live action.
We never saw that one.
We didn't. It's no. And yeah.
Yeah, not that we planned to, but that's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe they should have a live action musical Star Wars show.
No.
Oh, great.
Last time that happened, that
you
was
know,
the
if you Christmas bring that movie. Idea up, you're going to have to watch the Star Wars Holiday Special.
It would just be weirder when I was sick.
Oh, yeah. You should get, like, all medicated.
I'm tired, medicated, and I'll have a Coke. And
I'm feeling really weird. Yeah, we should.
We really watch the need to clip that.
I'm drinking Coke and I feel weird.
Yeah, so we should make you watch the holiday special.
We're totally clipping that and adding that to ourselves.
It'd be like you're on an LSD trip or something like that. So.
All right.
Cool. I think, yeah, Favreau's going to be.
I mean, what other TV series could you do? Like, I'm trying to think. So, maybe. It'd be tough to think because they haven't really. We haven't really.
We have no idea what this. Everything is speculation.
And we haven't really thought too much about live action things. We've always kind of just assumed it would be something like the Underworld and the new anime series. We've only thought of one thing, such as Resistance. So we haven't really opened up or thought about different ideas for the live action. So I don't know, like, what they could do. They could do pretty much whatever they want. I just don't have the imagination to come up with any ideas right now. But okay. It's interesting.
Well, cool. Yeah, I think we've exhausted that since there's really nothing that we can talk about other than the fact that a TV, no matter what we do know is that there's going to be a new TV series that's coming out in 2019. It's going to be Star Wars, a live action. Yes. I just pray that they don't get all weird like they did the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We lost total interest in Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starting about season 4.
What was it?
It was, you know, they got into space and it started getting crazy and they brought in weird characters.
My question is,
it just celebrated its 100th episode last night. It was like a big deal episode. Really? Everybody's flipping out about it right now. We lost interest months ago, years ago.
Spider-Man. That's like one of the big articles right now. Like
what is it?
Somebody's an anti-Spider-Man.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's.
Then they have that Ghost Rider, which we're so confused about.
And the other thing is, you can't. I think that they've got to be very careful that they don't set the TV series in an era that is parallel, the same time frame, as whatever's going to be going on in the new movies that are being put out by Rian Johnson and Benioff and Weiss. Because one of the problems I started to have with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was it's running in the same time periods, but and they sort of mention it a little bit. And,
everywhere.
But it's...
It never really connects.
If you've got Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, Spider-Man that are available in the battle against, you know, all of these evils that is going on in the S.H.I.E.L.D., why aren't you bringing them into the mix? Well, the reason they're not bringing them into the mix is because it's a TV series and they can't afford to pay the actors.
Right.
But you know, it just feels
and
unnatural.
Why don't they bring in the characters from Marvel?
Exactly.
Yeah, it just feels weird.
It does. So
I agree.
I'm hoping that they do it. Okay, next topic. I guess I get to take this one. General Hugs might not make it to episode 9. That was a Death Star firing. That was kind of the cool thing for General Hugs. You know, Starkiller Base, big bad Empire guy. Anyway, Domhnall Gleeson, the actor who played General Hux in The Force Awakens and in The Last Jedi, was asked this past couple of weeks, I guess, by the time you hear this podcast, about episode 9. And he says, I know that JJ's finished writing the script and I know that they're working on getting things put together. I'm just waiting for somebody to call me and ask me if I'm going to be in it. And so he's wondering whether or not General Hux is going to actually be in episode 9. What do you think about that, BB Nate? Do you think that they can write out General Hux from episode 9?
No. Because then they'd have to stick something in there about why it happened. Because we saw that at the end of The Last Jedi, and it just wouldn't make sense.
And you need that sort of secondary bad guy. Because if you think about it, that's kind of been how it is the whole Star Wars series. I mean,
The whole sequel.
It's been different throughout the three trilogies. Like, the prequels, it's more it's difficult to figure out. I think it'd be more like the Emperor and Dooku, Maul, and then Vader, I guess. And then the original trilogy, is the Emperor and Vader, obviously.
Well, yeah, but that goes back to that sort of the rule of two thing that's
right,
going on.
So,
and we definitely don't have a rule of two with Kylo Ren and General Hugs.
No, but I definitely think that you need the two baddies just to make it feel right. I don't know. Maybe Hux hits his head and he can't come back as General Hux, but he can only come back as General Hugs.
So yeah, okay. Well, interesting.
I think maybe he's covering. Maybe he actually is in it.
No, wait, you think that he's just saying that?
Because he has a very big role in this.
No, I don't know. I think he's going to have a big role. I think he's going to be the ultimate big bad guy with that. And so we'll see. what happens in the next movie. So
yeah.
Want to make a little disclaimer here. We're going to try to do our best after we record this to balance out some audio. But, you know, we had talked at the beginning on the Patreon about our Patreon reaching that goal and how mm-hmm. we do a new audio equipment. Apparently, our microphone hasn't been working properly this entire episode. And so we're just going to keep moving forward. And finishing this thing up, and I'm balancing out the audio. So I apologize if the audio quality isn't as good as normal on this one. But yeah, so anyway, that's what's going on. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. I can't imagine them not bringing in General Hux in
this. Yeah, yeah, no.
In this. So we'll go from there. All right. Anything else that we want to – well, since we probably are scraping the bottom of the barrel of topics going into the next episode, we're going to skip the anything else.
There. Anything else?
No, Nathan has anything else.
Well, when I get back from Alabama, I'm going to get the next Drawn comic.
Oh, when does that come out?
When I'm in Alabama.
Are you going to get it while you're down there, you think?
I don't know.
I don't even know any comic stores. There's really not much down there for any way of that sort of stuff. Anyway,
let's go to Walmart. It's a neighborhood market type of Walmart.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay.
Cool. I want to talk about that.
We'll talk about that in the next one. Anything that you think you want to talk about, Samuel the Hutt?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Awesome. Let's think of a poll for this week. I think we're going to go with, is General Hux returning in episode 9? Yes, no, or who cares? we'll do that one. So, all right. I guess that's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening in. Follow us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons. Turbis the Porg is getting really big on Instagram. He's doing a lot of tweet in the last few weeks. So follow Turbis Gramming. I don't know. Is that what they call it?
Tweeting, get it because he's a bird.
Well, he's not tweeting because it's Instagram. So, so
I try to make jokes.
Yeah, that was a bad joke.
It was a good joke.
It was a good joke if it was Twitter. Turbis the Porg's been doing a lot more on Instagram, so I guess he's
We have to make a Turbis account for Twitter. Do we have one?
Yeah, we have a Twitter, but he doesn't do much. Anyway.
Well then we have to call the bird on Twitter Turbis.
That'd be a bit of a difficult campaign to get going.
Yeah. Let's see all if right. we can get the Turbis, okay. Anyway, follow us on Instagram, YouTube. If you'd like to watch us watch TV shows or see some behind-the-scenes stuff, we're going to be doing that on there. And we'd love for you guys to support us on Patreon. Help us get to our next goal, which is a big one. So we will. You can check it out on the page. Become a member of the Jedi Council. So thanks, guys, for listening in. Anything you guys want to say to our listeners?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. And I hope Nathan feels better next episode.
Right.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.